on businesses like ours and like to work with project decision makers to that end.
Thank you. Would you like to go next?
I'll go next. My name is Terry Treat. I own Cotton Cloud Futons on 7th and Broadway, and I'm a manufacturer. I've manufactured all my products in my store for 37 years, and I've been on Broadway for 25 of them, 15 on 7th and Broadway. And I have 20 employees, which seems very small comparatively, but only five of us drive, and rest use public transportation because there is no parking. And there's just some big issues in our city around stagnant, you know, incomes and the way the cost of living, so a lot of people live out. And so it takes away people's livelihood to spend so much time traveling into the city to travel. But if things go through with the way it is, it will impact my business very strongly. And to move my business out or somewhere else would completely, I would probably not be in business because I use loading zones and we have trucks come and Les Schwab is right across the street. And on 7th, you know, that's where the fire trucks use that lane all the time. So there's, like, I sat here and listened and there's like so many incredible things that we're doing, but there's like some impacts on businesses and people's livelihood. So the projects that would really infect us that are not do not really work in my mind are 3, 13, and 18. And we are asking for outreach, more outreach for us, especially Broadway like that. To make that a one-way lane street just makes it so that I know that I don't go to other streets that have just one lane now because I can't get there or I won't be able to park or I won't be able to do all those things. So let me finish here. On 2016, we did the Better Broadway project, and that did not really work. Like, even giving us a look at what making Broadway narrow would do was not great. So I just really would encourage that. It sounds like there'd be more stuff looked into and really all of us taken into consideration.
So, Ms. Street, where is your business located?
7th and Broadway, Northeast.
Northeast, 7th.
Right, Les Schwab is right next to me, and they really parked, and then there's another whole warehouse right behind us where Blue Star Donuts is, and there's big delivery trucks all day long on that street.
So this is similar to Mr. Matthews' concern. Right,
he's a little further down from me.
But it's all along 7th. It's on the east side.
Also on 7th. Yeah. Closer to Hawthorne.
I did see the project staff nodding when you were talking.
I'm on the top. Yeah. He's down there.
Okay. I think that they've got it written down. Thank you.
Hello. My name is Dane Fredericks. I am here representing the Northeast Broadway Business Association. And I want to say thank you to Terry for coming down here. Most of our business owners are small businesses like hers. Most of them don't get down here that often. They don't serve on committees and, frankly, don't frequently have the ability to understand these projects ahead of time, advise implementation of those projects. As Terry mentioned, there are three projects that touch on Northeast Broadway, and many of the businesses I speak about have a lot of concerns about aspects of those projects. Terry also mentioned Better Blocks, the project in 2016, and I can tell you that I frequently hear from businesses about the kind of disastrous side effects of that on their business, on safety. As you know, poorly implemented projects like these poison the well for the next group of projects, which is why we are asking for a Broadway-specific business impact study. I would strongly recommend doing individualized business outreach to those small neighborhood businesses that don't come down here and serve on committees. I forgot to thank you for your time. You've done a lot of really hard work, and we really appreciate that. And congestion impacts all of us, so thank you, commissioners. Thank you, Terry, for coming down here and waiting for about 3 hours. Our board submitted a letter to each of the commissioners and to PBOT, and I hope that you will peruse that.
I have it right here. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Next three.
Our Rena Jimerson, Mike Bollinger, and Michael Christie, and they'll be followed by Ian McKenzie, Paul Frazier, and Nathaniel Braun.
Welcome, and we just need your name for the record, and each have 2 minutes. We'll start with you.
My name is Rena Jimerson, and I'm from the Central East Side Industrial Council. Sorry, that's very loud. I'm representing the president, who Brad Molson, who unfortunately had to leave. Basically, the Central East Side is an important center for Portland's manufacturing and is a designated freight district. Production, distribution, and repairs, the largest sector in our district, comprising over one-third of CEID businesses. The CEIC was an active participant in the forming of the Southeast Quadrant Plan and strives to attain the density goals outlined in this plan. Let me start by saying that we do support a lot of the Central City in Motion projects when modified to mitigate the loss of 250 parking spaces and loading zones that would occur if all of these projects were implemented. And we do appreciate that PBOT has involved us in the planning process. However, our repeated concerns and comments we feel are not currently reflected in the plan that is being presented. Among some of our concerns, some of them Pia has said, and I will repeat, the project on 7th Avenue would remove 100 parking spaces at once, which is, in the CEID, is a major disruption to our parking system and loading zones, especially in a historically freight district. Little outreach has been done to the business along 7th, a freight route, which is a host to many distribution and manufacturing facilities, as Elephants has just mentioned. PBOT hasn't provided adequate information as to how businesses with loading zones or driveways on this route would be affected. Thirdly, combining freight with a protected bikeway for all ages and abilities, as suggested on 11th, 12th, and 7th, is just unsafe, and this opinion is also echoed by the Freight Committee. Inadequate consideration has been given to using 6th Avenue as an alternative for protected bike lanes, as opposed to on 7th. 6th is already being designated for the Green Loop, so protected bikeways on both would be a little redundant. Let me end by saying that we're not against bikes, but we feel that this program needs to remember the low-wage jobs, the freight, the loading zones, the lack of parking that the CEID has to deal with every day.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Council. My name is Michael Bolliger, and I'm the chair of our Transportation and Parking Advisory Committee for the Central East Side, and we are partnering with PBOT on that endeavor, and we worked very hard over the last 5 years to maximize our street parking inventory, which is about 7,500 spaces as we speak right now. And we're implementing meters as we can. I think we'll be closer to about 500 here with the last group that's proposed to come in. I too, as Rena said, we agree with the lion's share of this program and its goals, but we do have our concerns. As Rena said, with an estimated 250 plus on-street parking spots to go away, currently we support our 7,500 spaces, over 20,000 jobs, an increasing block of residential members that I'm told are going to be approaching 5,000. And a growing number of customers trying to access our growing retail. So a 250 loss of parking spots to many people might not seem too bad. But when you only have 7,500 and there's a huge amount of frustration for people not finding adequate parking already, that's more than a little concern to us. The second part was, again, 7th Avenue. We've recommended 6th. I think it can be modified to accommodate the Green Loop, which is already proposed to have pedestrians there, and also work out how the bicycle traffic can go as well. And leave 7th alone, where we have, again, a large amount of trucks and loading docks to deal with. Thank you.
Members of City Council, thank you for allowing me the time today to speak in front of you. My name is Michael Christie, and I'm an employee owner and operations manager of Modern Times Beer. Speaking on behalf of a business that resides within the heart of the Central East Side, I've come before you today to show my support for the Central City in Motion, but with some concessions and concerns with Project 3. Modern Times is an employee-owned company that has striven to support the community for a very long time. Our core values include quality and environmental sustainability. Having strong bike infrastructure helps to achieve both those goals by reducing reliance on cars. Over the years, we have partnered with organizations that specifically promote everyday riding and have advocated for improved biking infrastructure. At our location on 7th and Belmont, we are witness to a number of traffic accidents involving bikes and appreciate this solution to increase safety. However, as a business operating in the area, we need to ensure that our ability to survive is not impacted by the proposed plan. We need assurances that there will be access to driveways and loading zones along this path. Businesses along 6th and 7th rely on freight trucks for their day-to-day operations. As the plan stands today, our access to load and unload into the brewery would be blocked. We want to ensure access so that we can continue to thrive as part of the Portland community. Overall, Modern Times strongly supports Portland's plan for increased bike safety infrastructure, but with some assurances that this will not incapacitate the businesses that thrive along this route. Thank you.
So would switching the bike from 7th to 6th work for your business?
We actually operate on both 6th and 7th, so it basically blocks us in. So we wouldn't be able to get anything in or out of our building.
But if we move to offset, thank you.
If it was on 6th?
We have roll-ups on both sides, so it, depending on which way it would go, it would affect us no matter what.
So if there's a greenway on 6th, then the proposal on 7th, that would completely shut off your business.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you all. Three.
Next three are Ian McKenzie, Paul Frazier, and Nathaniel Braun, and they'll be followed by Kyle Johnson, Keith Jones, and Suvi Wessa.
Okay, name for the record, and you have 2 minutes. We'll start over here this time.
All right. My name's Paul Frazier. I want to tell you who I am, my experience, and your opportunity. I'm a North Portland resident, husband, and proud father of one of Portland's youngest residents. I want to tell you about my bike ride here today. I came down Rosa Parks on that new protected bike lane, thank you, PBOT, to the bike highway of Vancouver. Then I hit Broadway, and gone is the relatively low stress of Vancouver and white lines on both sides, and I begin the exciting, terrifying, injury and death-defying gauntlet. Through the trucks loading, blocking the lane, then the door zone extravaganza of the hotels, and finally the right hook risk throughout downtown. Then I hit Madison, which doesn't even have a bike lane. And I honestly tell you, on my way today, I almost witnessed a right hook. The only reason I'm here and not giving a police report is because the biker yielded to the aggressive car cutting him off in the bike lane. So the question is, are we going to act now and prevent a death, or are we going to act after the next biker dies? We need improvements today, not tomorrow, not 5 years from now. I've been blessed to travel around the world, and my wife and I have enjoyed biking in Paris and Vancouver, BC, both cities that have invested in their bike networks. Sadly, my wife won't ride here. She doesn't feel safe biking in her own town. I want to remind businesses that we frequent you, we will continue to patronize you, and other cities have done this, and business has survived. We'll find a way to make it work. Change is always scary. Percent of road was discussed today. The key is a network. Right now we have a piecemeal hodgepodge of bike lanes. It's not comprehensive. We need a network. As Field of Dreams says, if we build it, they will come. We've seen this. Bridge pedal, Sunday parkways. They flood the streets with bikes, walkers, and other wheels. Let's make this our daily reality. Sightline ran a piece today about how great this proposal could be. Their one critique was, are we going to do this fast enough? Let's learn from cities who've done it fast and do this in 0 to 5 years. We chuckle at a year, but why? Plastic jersey barriers and cones could be deployed tonight. We could have an amazing network tomorrow. The only thing that we don't know if we have is the courage and will to do this. I'd urge you to act decisively for your legacy, our city's legacy, and for the future of my 2-month-old daughter.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Nathaniel Brown. I'm the Government Relations Specialist at the Portland Business Alliance. I'm also a daily bus commuter. I'm here today to express the Alliance's general support for the Central City in Motion concept. We support a number of the projects and have recommendations for others. We've also been fortunate to maintain an active dialogue between our members and PBOT throughout the process. We fully acknowledge that with more than 40% increase in jobs downtown in the next 20 or so years, these investments are smart and they're needed. We're very supportive of investments in public transit, which will allow the bus system to be more efficient and reliable. The Alliance is also in support of the proposed safety improvements for pedestrians on sidewalks and crosswalks, as well as protected bike lanes that provide a more robust north-south and east-west connection through downtown. In October, we sent a letter outlining our various positions on the specific projects impacting the Central Business District. While we are supportive of many of these projects moving to the engineering phase, I'd like to use my time this afternoon to outline the valid concerns and recommendations that our members have about reducing auto capacity on NATO Parkway, which is Project 17, 4th Avenue and Broadway, which is collectively Project 2. These are major arterials that commuters, businesses, and customers rely on every day. We believe the concept of two new protected bike lanes on the transit mall should be further explored. I know it was explored at the beginning, but we believe several of the trade-offs of that also apply to Broadway and 4th. On NATO, we'd like to see further consideration for a protected bike lane through or adjacent to the park. We're really supportive of the proposed sidewalk on the west side of the park, which we also believe indicates the possibility of a north-south bike lane without removing an auto lane. We believe it would be greatly beneficial to the downtown business community if the Bureau agreed to work with us and convene a strategic group, as Commissioner Udaly has suggested, to evaluate these alternatives. We're not here to oppose the Broadway and 4th. We're just simply asking that our alternatives be compared and further studied along with those. We're absolutely committed to having two north-south bicycle connections through the central city, which is why we are supporting that option. We believe that the alternatives proposed prove, or if they prove to be unfeasible, we'll absolutely respect that. We want to see the ribbon cut, and we're just hoping for a fair evaluation of a protected bike lane and waterfront park and a car-free transit mall. I'd like to reiterate our appreciation for this important undertaking and for our continued collaboration with the city as this moves forward. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Ian McKenzie, and I'm here to support Central City in Motion, which I believe is a well-crafted plan to move more people in the central city in a safer and more sustainable way. Over the past few years, this council has worked hard on the Central City 2035 plan, which builds on the progressive legacy of our famous 1972 and 1988 plans. The 2035 plan is centred on the five guiding principles of economic prosperity, human health, environmental health, equity, and resilience. I believe that Central City in Motion helps achieve all five principles, but I'd specifically like to talk about economic prosperity. We've made the decision to place about 30% of the city's future growth in the central city. This means 38,000 new households and 51,000 new jobs in just 3% of the city's land. The zoning capacity we've created is good for the economy, but we need to think how we can move all these new people through the central city. The 1950s approach would have been to build new highway capacity. We could do that, and many more conservative cities still do. But even aside from the environmental impact, I doubt there's any appetite on this council for acquiring hundreds of parcels through eminent domain for widened or new streets. We could, and maybe one day will, bury the MAX and start building out a subway system. But even if we start work on that now, that's a decade or two out and will cost billions. What we can do, relatively cheaply and quickly, is what's being proposed here today. Protected bike lanes and bus-only lanes can move more people per hour through our streets than the current system does. That makes it possible to achieve the jobs and housing growth this council has already committed to. It makes it possible for more people to access the educational and cultural opportunities in the central city. What's holding us back right now is that there are lots of people who would like to travel by means other than a car, at least for some of their trips. Right now, many don't, whether that's because they don't feel safe riding a bike in mixed traffic downtown or because the bus is just too slow. Central City in Motion gives people new, good options. We know from other cities, including Seattle and Vancouver, that when given good options, people will choose them. I urge the council to continue Portland's history of smart, sustainable economic development and vote yes on Central City in Motion today.
Okay, thank you all. Next three.
Are Kyle Johnson, Keith Jones, Suvi Wessa, and they'll be followed by Jessica Engelman, Jim Kogler, and Terry Dublinsky Milton.
Welcome. Name for the record and 2 minutes each, and we'll start with you, sir, over here.
Sure. My name is Keith Jones. I'm the co-director of the Friends of the Green Loop. The Friends of the Green Loop, just because this is our first time testimonying publicly, are a community-led organization that is responsible for advocating for creating partnerships and raising money to build the Green Loop. We see the Green Loop as a private-public partnership. And so when we look at Central City in Motion, there are a number of projects that provide connection points for the parts that we want to build. So we are very much in support of Central City in Motion moving forward. In fact, we encourage you to move these projects from the 6 to 10 year column over to the 1 to 5. We are very interested in the Lloyd projects especially. I'm also on the Lloyd Community Association, and I happen to know that we are very excited to get this moving. We have a number of private interests who are already ready to engage in building part of the Green Loop. We just did Block 216 a couple weeks ago, and there's a couple others. And so these things moving forward are very important. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Kyle Johnson, and I'm also one of the co-chairs of the Friends of the Green Loop. Sorry, I'm recovering from a cold, so my voice is a little weird. Last week we testified at the Block 216 at the design review, and one of the things that came up was we have a lot of developers who are really interested in participating in the Green Loop and sort of making that happen on the street level, but without sort of guidance from the city yet, they don't really know how that's going to fit in. And these developers are looking to spend money on the streetscape because they're realizing the importance of that streetscape to sort of enhance their buildings. And so I think that it's really important that we move quickly to sort of come up with a plan for what the Green Loop is going to look like. And I think that there's also some confusion that I heard here today as well about sort of what the purpose of the Green Loop is. Is it another sort of part of the bike network where it's for commuters to go in quickly and it's just another bike lane? Or is it more of a park space and something that sort of inspires and enhances the city around it? So I think that coming up with and investing money in a plan for the Green Loop as quickly as possible is going to be really important to clearing that up. I'm also I also started the bike valet at the bottom of the Aerial Tram. When the Aerial Tram first went in, they had only planned for 12 bike parking spots. This year, during the summer, we got up to almost 500 people just parking in the bike valet. And this Central City plan will make our jobs a lot more difficult. We're going to have a lot more bikes to park, and we're going to have to find room to park them all. But thankfully, we can park about 500 bikes in the space. You can park about 20 cars. So hopefully we'll find that room. So thank you very much.
I thought you said bike ballet, and bike. I got pretty excited.
That would be really cool,
bike
too.
Bike ballet sounds wonderful, too. Yeah. But Peabot staff, write that down, bike ballet.
Are all those bike parkers taking the tram, or are some of them going to OHSU in South Waterfront? Do you have any idea?
I would say most people are riding the tram. There hasn't been a lot of development sort of around there yet, and I think that as soon as those like Zidell yards sort of get activated, that we'll see it being used for other people going around South Waterfront. But it's free for anybody to use, and we have a lot of people that use the daycare actually that have like cargo bikes and like bike trailers, and they can park that securely at the bike valet. So that's really helpful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hi, everyone. My name is Suvi Wessa, and I work for a company, Day Wireless Systems, which installs communication devices in emergency responder vehicles, fire trucks, police, and we do cell tower communications as our primary operations. We have some buildings that we own in the Pearl. We've lost our loading zone and relocated out of there because we can't operate anymore and receive the shipments we need. So we've gone to the east side, and we also have buildings that we're building and renovating, seismic upgrade, and creating energy efficiency for tenants like Modern Times Brewery on 6th and Belmont. And in the process, we're working with Peabot. Thanks, guys. But we are spending quite a bit of money on infrastructure improvements for the sidewalks and into the right-of-ways on a lot of our building upgrades. And the biggest concern is that our tenants stay viable businesses. They're paying the costs that we are incurring through rents, which then trickle down to the rest of the economy, to our renters in the area, all the way down to, you know, serving the homeless population which we've been paying and bearing the burden of the cost, the 1% new construction tax that's funding some of these projects. And so our concern is just that we make sure that we're really looking at the freight and the impact to the businesses. If the businesses get charged more, they either aren't viable, we don't have viable streets where we have places for pedestrians to go. And we do want pedestrian traffic to our businesses, but we also need to make sure that we're serving them and their economic needs to stay viable. And we're kind of late to the game, so I would appreciate if we could get a little more connection with the stakeholders in some of these areas so that we can have a voice in the dollars that we're putting in through, you know, special assessments and the SDC fees and the new construction property assessments that we're paying. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you all.
Next three are Jessica Engelman, Jim Kogler, and Terry Dublinsky Milton, and they'll be followed by Emily Geis, Alex Zimmerman, and Jillian Detweiler.
Okay, you each have 2 minutes, and just name for the record, and we'll start with you, sir, over here.
Oh, okay. Hello. I'm Terry Dublinsky Milton. I'm speaking on behalf of Southeast Uplift, unless I clarify otherwise. We voted unanimously to endorse the goals of the CCIM plan and that PBOT should build as many of the projects as quickly as possible. There was a significant number of abstentions. Most of them were because they didn't feel that the dedicated busway went far enough. But the addition of Grand and MLK to the project list will alleviate a lot of those concerns. We were focused on the discussion was about climate change and safety were the two biggest things. That this is the gap in the network. If you look at the improvements that you've made, PBOT's made recently to Clinton and Lincoln, they'll dump you in the Inner East Side, and then whoops, you have an unprotected network. Just today, riding here, I come off of Ankeny and go down Sandy to 7th. I was almost right hooked on 7th on the way to the Madison right turn to the point where I could have kicked his rear quarter panel. That was my opinion. Other projects that are critical is completing the Southeast Salmon Greenway for families who want to ride to the waterfront and don't like the fast-moving bike lanes. Salmon is a great alternative. And the dedicated busways on Burnside and Hawthorne. And so now I want to make a couple of personal comments from being a 20-year resident of cycling in Portland. I agree that NATO is critical. I've been taking the lane in downtown for 20 years commuting. I'm confident in it. Most people are not. I had the same concerns with sidewalks on NATO. What we need for NATO is for the sidewalk is a tree assessment because some of those are Northwest maples. We can rip that out and they're invasives. Others are oaks that'll live for 400 years. We need to build a sidewalk around them. If we do the tree assessment, your concerns will be fixed. So I have 3 seconds left. Thank you for your time. I think this is a wonderful plan, and thumbs up.
Thank you for being concise, too.
I'm going to jump in and go next. My name is Jessica Engelman. I am a resident at Southeast 10th in the Central East Side, so this project is very near and dear to me. I intentionally signed up a little later so I could talk in response to some comments that people have said. First, I have a printout of the plans that Portland City Council has previously endorsed that this really would be perfect for. Climate Action Plan, the 2035 TSP, these conversations all happen then. Whoever is saying there has not been enough public outreach between the Southeast Quadrant Plan, the 2030 Bike Plan, the TSP again, and then this plan has been living under a rock. I'm sorry. So let's see. 6th, not 7th. Again, in terms of living under a rock, 6th is going to be a completely different type of facility than 7th will. Conflating the two is just going to end up with the same problems that we have on the East Bank Esplanade with fast bikes and walkers and people trying to walk their dogs and just hanging out. I'll shoved into the same space because we don't have enough space dedicated for non-automated automotive uses. And on that note, I actually agree with what Terry Parker said at the beginning, that we need more proportional representation. Currently, we're at a 6% bike share, 6% walk share, and 12% transit. I would like to see the equivalent amount of asphalt on our roads dedicated to those modes. If we think that only 6% deserve only 6% of our roads, well, we only have 3%. So, yeah, let's double it. You know, that's equity. Let's see. The loss of parking in the Central East Side. I live in the Central East Side. Believe me, there's a lot that could be done. I park my car for free in front of my house all year round. That these are things that are not being addressed that could be addressed to free up parking. And finally, the businesses on Broadway. I don't shop there because it's a terrifying street, and maybe if you made it a little less terrifying, you get more business and you wouldn't have to close. So those are my comments. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Jim Kogler. I have worked with Bike Loud PDX, but today I'd like to talk about climate change exclusively. So in these projects, I see 18 buckets. If you recall, it used to be when there was a fire, we would all gather as a town, and we would form a fire brigade. And when you form a fire brigade, what you want in a bucket, it doesn't matter what color it is, it doesn't matter what shape it is, it kind of matters if there's a handle. I'm in favor of handles. I'll go on the record stating that. But there's no perfect bucket, and that's not important right now. Do they hold water? Yes. I am pro-bucket, and I ask for a yes vote from this council. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you all.
Next three are Emily Geis, Alex Zimmerman, and Jillian Detweiler, and they'll be followed by Tony Jordan, Mary Vogel, and Brad Baku.
Okay, welcome. You each have 2 minutes, and give us your name for the record, and we'll start over here.
Hi, my name is Emily Geis. Although I'm an employee of DKS Associates, one of the subconsultants who worked on the Central City in Motion plan, today I'm speaking here as the co-chair of Bike Loud PDX. I've been sick all week, but I got myself downtown and I took the afternoon off work because I wanted to come tell you why I support Central City in Motion so strongly. It's a plan that would give a lot of bang for the buck. By shifting just 2% of our street space to dedicated bike or bus lanes, we could increase the people moving capacity of those streets by 60%. It's amazing, according to the National Association of City Transportation Officials. And it will only cost $72 million. That's the same as 1 mile of urban freeway. It's a crazy bargain. It's the kind of investment that would help downtown workers like myself. So I work on Southwest Broadway, and I bike or I take transit to work every day. I rarely feel safe biking around in the central city, especially on Southwest Broadway. Frequently, the bike lane is blocked by freight unloading, you know, cabs or Uber drivers parked there to drop off passengers. And so I'm forced to swerve into oncoming traffic to avoid them, which is terrifying. So I've been nearly hit by careless drivers, both while crossing the street on Broadway and while biking along it. So having a protected bike lane that would force people to drive more slowly would be amazing. It would allow me to get to work and to my other destinations more easily and safely. So, again, I ask you to vote yes on this crucial plan. Thank you.
Thank you. Jillian?
Good afternoon. I'm Jillian Detweiler, the Executive Director of the Street Trust. Thank you for bringing the Central City in Motion plan forward. We urge your adoption today. The piece I thought I could add is that the Street Trust has three program areas: education, encouragement, and advocacy. Today, you've experienced some of our advocacy. But tomorrow, I want you to experience some of our encouragement programs. We want to be your partner to assure that if these facilities are built, that they are used and loved. We have programs like Women Bike, where we met Serenity Ebert. We have programs like Access to Cycling, where we're connecting with culturally specific organizations around the region. And we want to help people both beat the habit of driving and open up the opportunity of getting where they need to go, walking, biking, and taking transit when it is safe and convenient. So we're very excited about the changes that this plan can bring, and we want to make sure we're tapping every part of the market that will be opened up when you make it safe and convenient for people to do so. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, commissioners. Thank you for your time. My name is Alex Zimmerman. I work in the Central City, and I'm here today as a board member for the Street Trust. As someone who does not own a car, I rely on our city's transit, bicycling, and pedestrian network every single day to get me to where I need to go. Living without a personal vehicle has freed me in a lot of ways. It reduces my carbon footprint, it gives me the flexibility to afford an apartment in this central city, and it keeps me healthy. It lets me engage with my community at the street level on a daily basis. I love my city, but I feel increasingly unsafe walking to do errands, riding my bicycle to work. Transit delays impact my day and make it difficult to arrive on time to work, appointments, other commitments. It seems like every other day I hear similar frustrations and stories from friends, coworkers, and even the stranger sitting next to me on the bus. For too long now, Portland has rested on our achievements. It's become increasingly clear that we can't ignore we've fallen behind on climate and Vision Zero goals. We've pushed Portlanders to the edges of reliable transit service, and we've failed to move the needle on our mode splits. But we can change this today. If you adopt the Central City in Motion plan and invest in the list of proposed projects, we can increase capacity for those in our transportation network by over 60% using just a mere 2% of the street space dedicated to non-auto trips. Our city desperately needs these improvements today to provide safe, efficient, and functional travel. I urge you to adopt this plan so that we can begin the work to move Portland together toward a more sustainable future for all. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you all. Next three
are Tony Jordan, Mary Vogel, and Brad Bacow. They'll be followed by Christopher Kopka, Phil Richman, and Bernard Sanders.
Okay, welcome. You each have 2 minutes, and name for the record. We'll start with you, Tony.
Great. Hello, my name is Tony Jordan. I'm here. I found Portlanders for Parking Reform. I want to support Central City in Motion. I echo the testimony of all the people who supported it, particularly those who want a fast and quick, cheap implementation. But I'm here to really speak about the second item, which came pretty quickly. I've been on a lot of parking committees and seen a lot of parking policy plan, and I'm surprised that this was done so quickly. Usually it takes at least 6 months of a public process, and then we wait 6 months to get a vote. So to see a policy come in a month or two was surprising. I think that policy, if there were a committee, I would have said that this policy is redundant. We have a lot of good policy we've come up with for parking in the last several years. It's been developed with things like CCIM in mind, and a lot of it is just taking place or isn't even fully implemented on the ground yet, like performance-based parking management or our never-passed permit program for residential permanent and commercial corridor permitting. There's also a lot of parking actually still being built in the Central East Side supply, like at 7 Southeast Stark Avenue, where a large six-story parking garage is being built. I think that the parking policy undermines our current policy and this project by building new supply that will bring in additional car trips into the Central City, and it muddies the water and makes our current policy more confusing. I also think that the parking policy is not without risk. Prosper Portland has been rumored to often be looking for a place to build parking, so whether or not the city has money, I still think it's kind of risky as to whether or not this blesses a plan to build parking in the future. And any money that's saved by, for example, the Central East Side Industrial Council, like to build a parking garage, or is spent on things that hope a parking garage is going to come along in the future, will be better spent on the transportation demand management, which is a great part of that plan, actually. Item 1, Strategy 1, Transportation Wallet is great. So please pass CCIM, and let's have a better public process for the parking part.
Mary?
I'm Mary Vogel with my own business, Plan Green. I'm both a pedestrian and an urban cyclist, and I've been a cyclist for over 45 years, an urban cyclist. As a member of several of the organizations that have already testified in favor of this proposal, I'm a strong supporter. However, I'm wondering if some of my input at various open houses regarding street trees can be better included as we implement the plan. I've long contended that street trees are one of the most important parts of the transportation infrastructure for both cyclists and especially for pedestrians. For example, walking up the treeless asphalt desert with five lanes devoted to cars on Southwest 12th Avenue when it's 105 degrees and smoky is nearly impossible for most people with any health impairment. While I love protected bike lanes and have recently come back from Vancouver, BC, where I had the opportunity to ride on far more of them than I do in Portland, I find that both cities' DOTs tend to forget about trees as part of their cycling infrastructure. I'm excited to ask that council approve this concept with PBOT and also instruct them to coordinate with urban forestry to assure that as many street trees as possible are both saved where already existing and planted where they are not, including on bus lines. Thank you.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm Brad Baker. I want to just echo the support for CCIM. So I'm sure you're aware the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change said we have 12 years to take urgent and unprecedented action to address our carbon emissions if we're going to keep global warming below 1.5 degrees Celsius. So 12 years. These projects are going to take 10 years to finish and will be a step in the direction towards dramatic action, but they won't be fully dramatic action. So I urge you to adopt them and to think what else we can adopt to push the needle further. And then along with that, the funding with the parking management package, there is potential funding for additional off-street parking. Any construction or funding of off-street parking is climate change denialism. More parking will encourage more driving, which moves against our climate goals, our Vision Zero goals, and our transportation mode split goals. So I ask you to really strongly consider voting against the parking policy in front of you. And then finally, I live in Elliott. Our neighborhood association was strongly in favor of CCIM, specifically Project 18, addressing Broadway Weidler in Northeast. Most of the people who live in our neighborhood will not travel by foot or by bike to Broadway. It's very unpleasant. You'd go there and it feels like you're walking along a freeway. It's hard to cross a road. It's hard to bike along the road. It's all auto dealerships and car-oriented design. So I urge you to move that project forward quickly to make it more welcoming for more people. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you all. Next three.
Are Christopher Kopka, Phil Richman, and Bernard Sanders, and they'll be followed by Lori Schmidt, Kevin Neely, and Sarah Ayanna Roan.
Okay, I think we're getting to the end. I think we already had Kevin Neely earlier today. And Phil Richman, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Let's go ahead and go with, is there Bernard Sanders?
It is.
You are, thank you.
Yes.
Lori Schmidt, Kevin Neely, and Sarah Ayanna Roan. Come on up.
Okay, well.
Darcy Owen.
Okay, we got three. Okay, name for the record. You have 2 minutes. We'll start with you, sir.
All right. My name is Bernard Sanders. Good afternoon. I'm the co-founder and chief technology officer of CloudBolt Software. We founded CloudBolt 7 years ago. Today we're nearing 50 full-time employees with 10 in our Portland inner southeast office. With demand for our product booming, we'll be growing to 35 employees in Southeast by the end of 2019. The city's biking and transit infrastructure is a big reason I moved here and the reason these 10, soon to be 35 jobs were created here. Before I moved to Portland 12 years ago, I fell in love with the city when I was biking around, taking the MAX right from the airport, reveling in the walkability of the place, and seeing that it was one of the few places I could live in our country without needing to use a car a lot. I chose to move here, and CloudBolt's engineering teams came to be built here because of our city's prior investment in multimodal transit infrastructure. About half my employees bike to work, one or two use transit or walk, and the rest drive. The driving is not going to scale to accommodate the kind of growth that Portland is going to see in the coming years. We stand at a crossroads, and we have to figure out how to make alternative transportation the most appealing choice for the majority of our residents. This plan accomplishes that, and we need it as soon as possible. Ideally, I'd like to see it completed in 2013. That would be the maximum benefit to my employees. It's going to directly help my employees and keep Portland the kind of city that I fell in love with 12 years ago. I urge you to support it, and thank you for your hard work for the city of Portland.
Thank you. Ma'am?
Hello. My name is Laura Schmidt. I work for Grand Central Bakery in Northwest Portland. I'm here to represent all the people that work there that bike to work, including all of the owners. We're all bike advocates, and we would like to see more of our employees bike. I'm here because I bike to work 5 days a week, 13 miles one way from Gresham. I'd like to see my commute become safer because in the last few years I've seen bike routes and streets become increasingly more dangerous due to an increase of drivers on these streets. I choose to commute to work by bike since I moved to Portland 7 years ago. Over the past 7 years, my bike commute has changed and varied in location, routes, and mileage due to me moving and my work locations changing. But one thing that has not changed in those 7 years is that there are more and more drivers on the road, and biking routes are becoming increasingly more dangerous and less accessible due to the increase of traffic. More and more cars are now taking these side streets to avoid the busier main streets to reduce their own drive times due to traffic congestion. These drivers often are in a hurry and drive in ways that put bike commuters at risk, also pedestrians. I have many reasons that I bike to work to stay in shape. I'm an avid bike racer. It's a good way for me to incorporate staying in shape and get my commute done in the same time frame. I also bike because it saves me money. I don't have to put maintenance into my car. I don't rarely have to put gas in my gas tank. And I also find it as a great way to leave stress, where when I drive to work, I find out that I am much more stressed out because I'm sitting in traffic. I also like knowing that it reduces my carbon footprint. Every May, Grand Central Bakeries promotes and participates in the Bike More Challenge. And as an avid bike racer, I like to encourage my coworkers to ride and bike to work. And the number one reason why they don't do it and tell me that they can't is because it's dangerous and they're afraid to. So I'd really like to advocate that we make our streets safer and to please vote and adopt the Central City in Motion plan to keep Portland moving in the right direction.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Darcy Owen. I am the owner of the Portland English Language Academy, which is we teach English to international schools. We've been in downtown Portland and now the Lloyd Center since 1989. The bike map and the transportation map for Portland is something that we literally hold up in front of our students around the world, saying this is why you should come to Portland, because Portland is easy to live without a car, and it makes it a very, very attractive option for international students. And what is good for enrollment at our school is good for the local economy. There's about 5 programs in the Portland area that are similar to ours, and I'm not here speaking for them, but I just kind of did a calculation. It's probably about $35 million a year to the local economy in homestays and business expenses and payroll. And to be able to hold that up as why you should come to Portland is a very strong draw for Portland. I'm also a daily car commuter, and it takes most of my commute to drive from Lloyd Center to I-5. And now Portland is starting to feel a little bit like what I say no one would want to go to Seattle for, is because when you leave your work, you don't know anymore how long it's going to take you to get wherever you're going. And Portland is quickly becoming like that. I have employees who don't want to take available afternoon classes because they don't want to deal with the drive home. I have employees, including me, who are pushing to leave by 4 o'clock. And that's lost productivity. And productivity is always this number that you read about in the magazines and newspapers, but that's a real thing that's happening on the third floor of the Lloyd Center. So for my employees as well as the students, Portland is getting to be an expensive place to live, and we need to do what we can to make it so they don't need a car to live in Portland. So that is why I am encouraging you guys to pass this, to set Portland up for the next 20 plus years, and for us to be able to hold it up, the map of Portland, and say this is a world-class city and show that it has the reputation that it deserves.
Okay. Thank you all. We have three left.
I think we're on. Was there Alan Kessler, Cassandra, Chris Rawl, Jay Veronica, and the last two I show are William Kenny and Edward Bailey. Also, if you signed up and didn't hear your name, you come on up.
Or if you wish to testify and you didn't sign up, this is your time.
Okay. You're the last one standing. Well done.
Okay. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, I'm Commissioners. I'm Chris Rawl. I'm a resident of Southeast Portland. I want to encourage you to move this plan forward as fast as you can in a cost-effective way so you can do more faster. A couple quick anecdotes. One, just a personal anecdote. Recently, my family, we converted our family bike to electric to make it easier. And, opened my eyes to the possibilities in terms of where you can get to, hauling kids. I'm seeing more and more electric bikes out there. So there's, and when we throw that in with scooters, you know, our bike infrastructure is, there's a whole bunch of potential of sort of new uses, electric skateboards, these one wheels. So anyway, there's a lot of opportunity for that to really fill out. And so we need to complete the network. The other thing is that in my day job, I go to Seattle a lot and see what they're doing on transportation and how it relates to business. And they have grown the number of jobs in their downtown by, 60,000 jobs since 2010. And they've reduced the drive-alone rate in that time from 35% to 25%. Over the last 17 years, they've reduced the drive-alone rate from 50% to 25%. So you take the long view, how are you going to fit more jobs in the central city? You're not going to do it by having the same rate number of people, you know, same proportion of people coming via car. They're just not going to fit. If we want to fit more jobs in our city, they need to come by other modes. So I'll give these handouts out. But yeah, I encourage you to move this plan forward, move it forward quickly, be cost effective about it so that you can do more faster. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Okay, that completes public testimony. Did we want to have staff come back up?
Yes, please.
Okay.
First, thank you very much, everybody, for testifying. This has been extremely helpful to flesh this out. And obviously, there's a lot of support for the plan in general. I think it's just maybe a couple of details. So I wanted to particularly address the issues for the Central East Side Industrial District. Project 3 in particular says that there will be loss of parking and loading zones on 6th and or 7th. So how much flexibility is, what is the plan for a business that relies on being able to make pickups and deliveries?
Sure. Yeah, so, you know, as was mentioned previously in testimony, the reason that we have landed on 7th as a bikeway is its connection to Sullivan's Crossing Bridge, a new bike, pedestrian, and emergency response bridge over I-84, and just providing a continuous non-meandering route. The other reason is that 7th has a wider roadway and has current bike lanes that can be improved. We are not proposing to remove all of the loading or all of the parking on 7th Avenue. We heard early on in our public engagement that preserving the center turn lane on 7th Avenue was important for freight mobility and access, so that's what our current plan shows. But if it does turn out that preserving parking on both sides of the street is more important than that certain center turn lane in some sections, we're totally open to that. In no case would we be removing all the parking or all the loading on any block face. We'd be preserving parking and loading along the entire street.
So I did hear concerns about other areas, but we have specific policies about the Central East Side Industrial District. In fact, we call it the Industrial Sanctuary, mm-hmm. and it's not intended to be the next Pearl. In fact, I've been very concerned that it's not supposed to be lots of residences, lots of trendy businesses, lots of non-industrial activity. So I'm, colleagues, very concerned that we're kind of at the crunch point here of saying that we're going to prioritize through traffic of bikes over these vibrant businesses that provide good family-wage jobs.
I think one other important piece of context is earlier we were looking at routes, and actually Southeast 9th was the preferred, that was actually what was in the bike plan for 2030. And through feedback from freight users, we actually, that was part of what pushed us to designating 7th as the priority route, in part based on trying to preserve the important freight uses that are happening in that area. 7th is actually the street within the Central East Side, in addition to MLK and Grand, that has commercial zoning in it. So it is actually the place in which we expect to have a more variety of uses. So we continue to think that it's the best location for this through route. Specific to the loading and parking issues, this is what the next stage of the process does, is once we know the routes we're working on, that's when you go deeper into specific, you know, clipboard-based understanding of each business's parking and loading needs and trying to understand if there's creative solutions to them. So for the specific current concerns for elephants, that's exactly the type of work that staff would be doing next, is understanding exactly, you know, what are the functions that they're needing to operate in.
So would you be comfortable with another, be it further resolved, that would say, be it further resolved, the project design must ensure freight access and convenient loading zones for businesses in the Central East Side Industrial District?
I think so. Yeah.
I'll second that.
Thank you.
I wasn't here, but if memory serves me correctly, past council pretty significantly changed the zoning in what was referred to as the industrial sanctuary. And the reason I am so painfully aware of that is that it impacted a nonprofit that I co-founded that occupied a building that had been zoned for light industrial and then was changed to retail. And their rent was tripled. So can someone tell me what the current status of that zoning is?
The bit of it, maybe I'm the best attempt at that. As I recall, and council members may have more details of their personal experience of it, is that overall in the Central East Side, an industrial employment overlay was added to the base zone. And then I don't believe there was that much changing to the zone along the main corridors, but it was already there present as an entitlement, is my recollection.
And it was a subject of huge debate as to whether this would pluralize the Central East Side. And certainly there are, wasn't prepared to come with the comprehensive plan policies on the Central East Side district, but I know that there are a lot of them saying that this is one of our key jobs areas.
Absolutely, and I think what came out of the Central Southeast Quadrant plan and then was incorporated into the Central City 2035 plan was a confirmation of the importance of, especially of freight uses and industrial uses in the Central East Side, particularly for that consolidation function, that warehousing and consolidation distribution function. You know, our salads and our sandwiches coming from elephants, that's exactly the type of activity that we continue to believe is really appropriate there. But I guess I very much feel that there are design solutions that, you know, through sort of creative work together, we can come up with design solutions that continue to help the brewery that I've not yet visited, but is now on my list, and these other uses.
I noticed you taking notes about Broadway and the other areas, and I just am really focusing on the Central East Side because of its designation as a sanctuary.
Commissioner, I'm happy to support that amendment, although I believe that we would be taking those concerns into consideration. And regardless, there has been a little bit of fear in the community about this plan, an assumption that we're done with the outreach and that all these plans are carved in stone, when really we're just narrowing down from hundreds of potential projects to 18. And then the next step is further outreach, involvement, design, and build.
They're not without challenging compromises need to be made, but this is what we do.
And you will need to come back to council with each project to get agreement on specifically what we're going to do in the contract for it?
I think the contract, the contract scales probably through a clustering of contracts is what I would guess. We probably wouldn't contract each of them as separate. We'd have a package that one contractor would deliver.
Something will come to council where people could come and say, hey, you've put me out of business. I mean, Subi West has said that they had to move from the Pearl because they lost their loading zone. I don't want that to be an outcome from this, and I know you don't either. Thank you. I appreciate that. So my only other question then is, what about the issue of first responders and how they get through if there's only one through lane, for instance, on NATO? How are cars supposed to move over to let the first responders through?
I don't know if Donna's still in the room. We had a fortune to have a technical advisory committee that helped us deal with a lot of these issues. One of the exciting things about dedicating spaces to transit vehicles is that those lanes that work well for prioritizing buses also provide...
That's clear. I'm just thinking better NATO. Yeah. Right now it's a temporary bollard thing, so presumably a fire truck could put the lights on and blow through all the bollards. But once you make it permanent,